Sunday, October 31st, was as quiet a day as I remember at the LBJ Ranch. I woke up early, before 7, but Lyndon was already having tea and looking at the paper. He hadn't slept well. He was feeling low. I, for one, certainly felt like I had been through an emotional ringer, pummeled and harried, and questioned at every turn, and frustrated and angry because I felt the romance of one young girl was first our private business, and second, no earth-shaking news of state. I slipped upstairs and crawled in the bed with Linda and Lucy, who was still sound asleep. Such is the resilience of youth. And we murmured sweet, sleepy things to each other, and I told them to be sure and get up in time to make the plane at 9. And then I dressed for the day. This was one Sunday we wouldn't be going to church, though it could be my usual ranch clothes, pants and boots. I had a cup of coffee with Bill White. He's going to scrap this book. He can't do it this way. Not enough time with Lyndon. He'll propose another one. This has not been the weekend for history. But he does not seem distressed. He thinks there are plenty of other approaches. Lyndon stayed in bed. Everyone asked me to say their goodbyes to him. For Jim Alou, at least, it had been a satisfying, successful visit. I like her so much as a person and as an artist. When I hugged and kissed, smiled and reassured enough, the last person was in, and the plane taxied off. For me, this was a day to walk. The sun was glorious, and I walked up the runway, trying to remember where the Texas Star were planted, the great blanket of mixed flowers, Gelardia, wine cup, verbena, wild phlox, everything ended. And the bluebonnets began. Looked at the yucca. I was pleased they were living. Then came back up around by Dale's house, warning them ahead of time, and stopped in for a cup of coffee. It was a delightful half hour, and they told me about the exciting social life of Stonewall. It celebrated Halloween the night before. A big dance at the gym, preceded by a cocktail party at Leela's. It had been a costume affair, of course. Dale and Jewel had won. I'd already heard that from the Secret Service. She, dressed in a wedding dress, 5 months pregnant. Dale in his tux, followed by Mr. Hodges with his shotgun. And then there was a man who came as a wolf, with a very wolfish mask on, to which he could twitch the nose and wink the eye. He had a long and elaborate tail, full of cuckoo burrs and leaves he said he'd been running across the country. It turned out he was a wig maker, and this was one of his masterpieces. Wheezy had gone in a potato sack that proclaimed on the front, "It looks like a potato sack. It feels like a potato sack. It is a potato sack." For evening wear, add ermine around the neck. Saves money on expensive French models. It had an hilarious time and danced until after 2 and then had a breakfast at Simon Berg's and gone to bed about 3. Just think of what we'd missed. Dale and I drove around to the cemetery and the birthplace, talked about where to put out more blue bonnets, to be sure and let the flowers along the fence rows go to seed before they were shredded, and putting out more yucca when they were dormant in December or January, and how good the little mott of sumac were looking at the turn of the road. And then, back home around noon, I found Lyndon up, and he and Linda ready to go for a little drive. So the three of us did, with the top down, silent, but communicative nevertheless. Linda so sweet and anxious to help us all. We'd asked Dr. Aiken to come and have a little private service. We got back just as he drove in for a brief prayer service. Lyndon and Jesse and Linda and I, Jewel and Dale and Wheezy, came in for a moment and attended. And then lunch. How small the table looks, with only 6 of us. Then Lyndon said that he was going with A.W. and Jesse to the Davis Ranch. Did I want to come? I didn't. I wanted to be with Linda and play bridge. And I want him to learn. He left, and we sat in the front yard. The Malacheks joined us. And just as we were getting into the game, up drove Lucia. I've become very fond of her this last year since we've been working on the houses together. But I was mentally patting my foot, waiting to get on with the bridge game, while she told us... And then we had 2 or 3 good hands when she left, and then the president called. Would Linda and I join him at the West Ranch? We would. We cannot say no for long. At the end of the hand, we jumped in the helicopter and flew to the race ranch, but no Lyndon. Secret Service said they would come by car, arriving in about 10 minutes. I walked down the runway and saw exactly what I wanted our runway to be. Clumps of sumac, crimson, scarlet, and green on each side, the mountains rising in the distance. If only I can get ours in 2 years to look like this in November. Still no Lyndon, so we started walking down the road, as far as the old stone fence, perhaps a mile or so from the airport. And then A.W.'s Lincoln drove up behind us. It made a cross-country cut. They'd gotten lost. They were sorry. What did it matter? Today is just for the leveling out of everybody's feelings. We drove and looked at deer. It was peaceful. Then we said goodbye to Linda at the West Airstrip. She went home to the university in the little Huey. Such a comforting, marvelous child. And Jesse and Linda and I helicoptered home. Just as we got off the plane, Jesse said, "Did he ever talk to Lucy?" And I said, "No, not at all." And he said, "Well, speaking from experience, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what not to do. Don't refuse to talk about it." That's the way I did, and it didn't work. I hoped that he would say this to Lyndon. He did. I do not know with what impression. We walked in, had dinner, just the four of us, the smallest and quietest crowd, the quietest day at the LBJ Ranch I can remember in a long time. And then I called Lucy. All was well with her. It was Halloween. What had she done? Why, of course, she had put on a rubber mask and a costume, and she and Pat had gone trick-or-treating. He said, "Imagine how I felt, Mama, when I walked into a great big drug fair, and the press had been following me all day long, and not a soul knew who I was." What a perfect end for the day for Lucy. And what an obvious end. Halloween, wearing a mask, what else? It was a sensible release from emotional turmoil, and I went to bed feeling much better about the whole thing. There had been a book review in the Tribune Book Week of Mrs. Johnson's family album. It was devastating. The reviewer was a would-be sophisticate. I suppose he classes himself as an intellectual who doesn't take it for the simple family album Christmas gift that it is. He says it's mildly interesting in praising the parsons, planters, soldiers, cattlemen, and frontier members of the first family tree, but the president's introductory letter too generously promises beautiful prose, and then goes on to say that only a mother's love could prompt the author's prose in recalling her famous son's birth. Having finished her description, he says, "We are not told whether a star rose in the east." He goes on to make an allusion to the Sammy Glick of the prairie. One thing I think was rather perceptive, though. He understands that Mrs. Johnson's line about Lennon's reading, where she says, "paying special attention to the ones that really happened," is a good description of Lyndon. He calls it, in fact, "no more definitive line of Johnson is in print." And then he manages himself to end up on a note of sentiment, describing how Lyndon had donated $4,000 to the Sam Rayburn Library Fund in memory of my wonderful mother. Lyndon Johnson's tears, moving eulogy, and the tremors in his voice that day were real. Philip Wiley might not approve, but it's awfully hard to knock a guy for being that kind of mama's boy. Oh well, I guess we'll have to have some such reviews from the glossy sophisticates. I hope I'm the only one who reads the book review pages.